Then we have a dramatic opening this weekend, Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare's play presented by the Gonzaga Department of Theater and Dance. It will be Friday, Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 2 this weekend and next weekend in the New Hall, as some of us like to call it, the Myrtle Woldson Hall at Gonzaga University, that brand new hall. And if you need to know where it conceptually is, it's just north of the June Art Gallery, just across that lovely field from there. So kind of approach it from the southwestern corner of Gonzaga, and you can't miss it if you're going to that Romeo and Juliet performance. The person at the middle of this is Charlie Pepitone. Welcome back, Charlie.
Thank you for having
me. You've just had your wonderful experience on top of a mountain. Unique things to happen. And let's just plunge right into, okay, Romeo and Juliet. Okay,
right.
There's those two kids. They
Everybody knows it.
We all know it. Okay, so that's your challenge. What's your solution?
Well, so why do Romeo and Juliet again, right?
Yeah.
I put that to a friend of mine, and he said, well, because we want to have our hearts broken again.
Well, that's
the reason why we keep coming back.
Well, that's a very good reason.
But beyond that, it's sort of the quintessential tragic love story that we have. But one of the things that the problem with the fact that the audience knows this story so much is they can sort of call your shots. They know the Romeo and Juliet die.
Mm-hmm.
They know the families are warring. And so there's nothing that you can't really surprise people. But I don't think surprise was what Shakespeare was about. He tells you the whole story in the first 14 lines of the play. So what we're doing is reshuffling it a bit. And so we're taking a nonlinear approach through the play. And we'll start at the death scene. So we plunge the audience right into the final moment, Romeo and Juliet in the tomb, and we see that play out. And then we start reshuffling it. And the goal is to triangulate through the play to discover where is it where the die is cast. And it's in, all the power lies in the hands of Juliet. She's the one who makes the choice. There are evidence throughout the play. Shakespeare is clearly putting the power in the hands of Juliet. Even in the last lines of the play, we hear, never was a story of more woe than of Juliet and her Romeo.
It's funny you just said that, because even as you were saying that, I was saying, were you tempted to call the play Juliet and Romeo?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Juliet's the one who really drives this show. It's her story. Romeo is sort of a average, typical adolescent guy. When we first meet him linearly in the play, he's in love with Rosaline, head over heels. And it takes him, just a few minutes to get over that. And then he's head over heels in love with Juliet. And it's Juliet who really knowingly makes this choice. And so we take this backwards and forwards approach towards those final lines in our version, where she really chooses in that moment to commit herself to loving Romeo. And in doing that, she ends up killing them both. But she also ends up healing the rift that goes back generations in the family. So it's this sort of strangely subversive thing that Shakespeare is on about with Romeo and Juliet. And so this version is trying to really get to the heart of what I think Shakespeare's intention was.
So that's the Romeo and Juliet that's taking place this weekend, next weekend at Gonzaga. And we have three of the gentlemen here. We have Romeo, Benvolio, and Mercutio here. And let's hear from them, maybe to further tell little parts of this story that you have.
We've got a scene that we can kick it off. This comes fairly early in our version, and it comes early in the linear script as well. This is Benvolio and Romeo.
Okay, let's go.
Good morrow, cousin.
Is the day so young?
But new struck nine.
Ay me, sad hours seem long. Was that my father that went hence so fast?
It was. What sadness lengthens Romeo's hours?
Well, not having that which having makes them short.
In love?
Out.
Of love?
Out of her favor, where I am in love.
A Alas, that love so gentle in his view should be so tyrannous and rough in proof.
Oh, alas, this love feel I, that feel no love in this. What fray was here? Yet tell me not, for I have heard it all before. Here's much to do with hate, but more with love. Why then, O brawling love, O loving hate, O anything of nothing first create, heavy lightness, serious vanity, misshapen chaos of well-seeming forms, feather of lead, bright smoke, cold fire, sick health, still waking sleep that is not what it is. This love feel I, that feel no love in this. Oh, dost thou not laugh?
No, cuz, I rather weep.
Oh, good heart at what?
At thy good heart's oppression.
Why, such is love's transgression. Love is a smoke made with the fume of sighs, being purged, a fire sparkling in lover's eyes, being vexed, a sea raging with lover's tears. What is it else? A madness most discreet, a choking gall, and a preserving sweet.
Why, Romeo, art thou mad?
Oh, not mad, but bound worse than a madman is, shut up in prison, kept without my food, whipped and tormented and—
Tell me in sadness, who is it that you love?
In sadness, cuz, I do love Rosaline.
A right fair mark, fair cuz, is soonest hit.
Well, in that hit you miss. She'll not be hit with Cupid's arrow, she hath Diane's wit. And in the strong proof of chastity, well armed, from love's weak childish bow, she lives uncharmed. She will not stay the siege of loving terms, nor bide the encounter of assailing eyes, nor ope her lap to saint's seducing gold. Oh, she is rich in beauty, only poor that, when she dies, with beauty dies her store.
Then she hath sworn that she will still live chaste.
Oh, she hath, and in that sparing makes swearing makes huge waste, for beauty starved with her severity cuts beauty off from all posterity. Oh, she is too wise, too fair, wisely too fair to merit bliss by making me despair. She hath forsworn to love, and in that vow do I live dead that live to tell it now.
Be ruled by me. Forget to think of her.
Oh, teach me how I should forget to think.
By giving liberty unto thine eyes. Examine other beauties.
Wow. Okay. Wow. I'm going to pick right on you, Romeo. Brett Bean as Romeo. As Charlie said, you are the quintessential young man full of vim and vigor and love and aspect of that. Shakespeare wrote that 400 years ago or something. How much of that have you felt in your life?
Definitely. I've been around the block one or two times, had my little romantic adventures. And, I mean, I've never run into the exact problem there that Romeo's got, where, like, I'm really into some girl, and then she's gone just decided to go join a religious order and live chaste. And I'm like, how could she? Yeah. But that's fortunately never happened. Yeah. But, you know, I've... Yeah. You kind of have your fair share of, like, romantic hardships, so it all rings true in one way or another of, you know, how you kind of want and then you can't have it, and then it's hard, and I think it's, like, always hard. It's hard across the generations, and it's never easy, and so I think that's kind of part of this play is, like, you know, love often ends in pain, but it's kind of worth it anyway. I think is sort of the point of the play.
Yeah, good for you. And yeah, because they're just fantastic words to inhabit and feelings that we've all experienced in our lives. Wow, what a great thing there.
The other thing that the guys that are here, they have the opportunity to be in the comedy, mm-hmm. right? This play is a comedy right up until the point that it isn't, mm-hmm. And it really isn't. At those moments, but there's so much levity and light, and Mercutio Benvolio, those two really get to play in those moments. And so we get to see these three guys. They're you know, three adolescent best friends hanging out on the streets of Verona, and we get to see just how contemporary these words still feel.
Yeah, it was really great. And so then Benvolio, are you kind of— have you experienced a little wisdom that you ever had to give anybody or anything to talk them down or anything like that when somebody else was going through something?
Yeah. I think this role is actually kind of fitting in the sense that Benvolio is the character who's always trying to tame Romeo and Mercutio and is trying to keep them down, get them back to their senses. And I kind of find myself being that friend in real life often with friends who tend to be, you know, adventurous and such. So it's kind of like you see that it plays along both sides. You in the play trying to get everyone to be level-headed and be wise and, you know, pass on your wisdom to them, even though in some cases Benvolio is actually younger than Romeo and Mercutio. But that friend who is trying to, you know, keep the situation calm is always there.
You have your wits about you.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Okay, what a great scene. We got another from this play as you've... Now, Charlie Pepitone, who, the director, you say, you clearly just state, and it said in the newspaper too, that you're starting it at the final death scene and then reverting. Then at that point, do you mostly go linearly, or have you also moved the timeline around?
Everything sort of moves. The idea with my new cutting of this is to put scenes together so that we get to see things in parallel. And Courtney Smith, who's our design professor and scenic designer at Gonzaga, his scenic design gives us opportunities to do that too. So we see scenes colliding. The same window where we get to see the famous lines of Romeo, 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 wherefore art thou? It's the same window where Romeo comes to get the poison from the apothecary. So we're juxtaposing scenes that I think Shakespeare's intending us to see these things colliding. And so we go backwards in time, then we go forwards in time. And towards the end of the play, we start to take on more of a linear progression until we end with Romeo and Juliet in each other's arms at the moment she chooses him. So, yeah, it's been fun to throw these scenes together and see how they might resonate. And the idea is to help the cast and the artistic team, but also our audience, to see this play with new eyes.
And I assume that there's so much precedent now after 400 years that one can go anywhere and kind of take on anything with Shakespeare, yeah. Can't you? You have pretty good carte blanche as long as you feel that you're true to the essence.
Yeah, you do have to be true to the play. What I talk about with the students is we never want to break the play with our own ambitions for it. So staying true to what Shakespeare is intending, listening for his voice. But he is a pretty compliant playwright now. And because the audience knows his work so well, it also gives us some flexibility to play on what are the audience's expectations? What can we do to unpack it from what the expectations are? So some of the music, diehard Romeo and Juliet fans will recognize, we're riffing on some of the music from Franco Zeffirelli's 1968 version and Baz Luhrmann's 1996 version. And Darian Mack, who performs as DJ Rose throughout town, he's on stage in this version, live mixing all of our memories of Romeo and Juliet together to bring us through the show. So we're playing with some anachronism and playing on what we think we know about Romeo and Juliet before we try to shake that off and see it with new eyes.
Nice. Well, let's bring Mercutio into this too and see what the three folks have for us.
Where the devil should this Romeo be? Came he not home tonight?
Not to his father's.
Aha, that same pale, hard-hearted wench, that Rosalind, torments him so he will surely run mad.
Tybalt, the kinsman of old Capulet, hath sent a letter to his father's house.
A challenge, on my life.
Romeo will answer it.
Any man that can write may answer a letter.
Nay, he will answer the letter's master, how he dares being dared.
Alas, poor Romeo, he is already dead, stabbed by the white wench's black eye, shot through the ear with a love song, the very pin of his heart, cleft by the blind bow boy's butt shaft. And is he man enough to encounter Tybalt?
Here comes Romeo.
Without his roe, like a dried herring. Oh, flesh, flesh, how art thou, fishified? Signor Romeo, bonjour. There's a French salutation for your French slop. You gave us the counterfeit fairly last night.
Oh, good morrow to you both. What counterfeit did I give you?
The slip, sir, the slip. Can you not conceive?
Pardon, good Mercutio. My business was great, and in such a case as mine, a man may strain courtesy.
Nay, I am the very pink of courtesy.
Oh, pink for flower.
Sure wit, thou hast most kindly hit it. Oh, good Benvolio, come between us, my wits faint. Why, now is this not better than groaning for love? Now art thou sociable, now art thou Romeo, now art thou what thou art. As art as well as by nature, for the shriveling love runs like a great natural lolling up and down to hide his bauble in a hole.
Stop there, stop there.
Thou desirest me to stop in my tail against the hair.
Thou wouldst else have made thy tail large.
Thou art deceived, for I would have made it short, as I had come to the whole depth of my tail, and meant indeed to occupy the argument no longer.
There we go. Mercutio, you are the person that our parents tried to keep us keep away from us. You are going to get everybody in trouble, aren't you?
I do, and I do. I do get everyone in trouble kind of in the show. I start the whole conflict with Tybalt, and which leads to the end of the comedy and beginning of the tragedy.
And you certainly had a look on your face like you were having a good time getting him in trouble. So have
no,
you?
I enjoy the heck out of playing this and getting to tease Benvolio and Romeo all the time.
A little bit of yourself gets to come out here,
yeah,
here too.
Bit.
Yeah, nice casting, Charlie, of all these three people, three of the Gonzaga students who are of the cast of Romeo and Juliet. I guess since she's not here, we can talk about her. So why don't you give the mic back to Charlie there and tell us about Juliet, about the person playing Juliet.
So Juliet's played by Anna Kay, and we've had fun exploring that character and finding those moments of strength in Juliet. I think I've heard her say that when she first read Romeo and Juliet, she was sort of put off by the character. She read it in high school because Juliet just sort of always comes off in its traditional reading. She's sort of this fainting flower, you know, but that's not how Anna's playing her. Juliet's got real strength to stand up against her parents and their expectations. But Juliet also is the one who she drives the ship. She proposes marriage to Romeo after just a few moments of meeting. All the way through, you see Juliet making these choices. She breaks with the nurse. She breaks with her mother. And it takes enormous gumption to make those choices. So she plays her really powerfully.
So look forward to that, too. And then putting on this play in your new space, in the new Myrtle Woldson Theater on the Gonzaga campus. What's that been like after... You can either say on its own or in comparison to where you came from.
Well, it's a much larger canvas. So we began rehearsals in our theater and dance studios, which we were working on a half-sized scale. Then we moved it to the Magnuson, which is really still our home on campus. And then we moved it again to the larger canvas of the Myrtle Woldson. So it's been about... As much as this version's about translation, the production's been being translated larger and larger when we finally moved in. It is a big, large-scale production. The size of the design, we get to build on a much larger scale, and then carting it across campus is its own operation. So it's been a giant undertaking from the size and scale of the design. Leslie Stimulus is... costume design is set in 16th century Verona. So despite our contemporary restructuring, we decided to set it in the period. And so, of course, that means all the doublets and hose and all of that. And so this new facility really lets us drive our production values even higher than we have.
And to the three actors, what does it feel like standing on that stage and bringing it back to the stage? And do you project differently? Do you do anything different or do you respond to the space in any way?
Well, it feels weird because we had a test audience of high schoolers yesterday, 260, which normally would sell out our old theater.
But looking at them on stage, it looked like it was an empty theater because it's so big compared to our old theater that the size of it is enormous, and having to play to this entire audience, it has been a little difficult, and we'll see tonight how that goes.
It'll be the real thing.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you all for coming in, the three characters from Romeo and Juliet. I should say your actual names. I didn't identify Benvolio, played by Barnabas Sirik, and Mercutio by P.J. Seeberger, Romeo by Brett Bean. And final word from you, Charlie.
Yeah, tickets are available if you go to gonzaga.edu/MWPAC, Myrtle Woolston Performing Arts Center. You can get tickets there. Or gonzaga.edu/theater-and-dance, all spelled out. There are links at both of those. And we play starting tonight, so Friday and Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at 2 this week and also next week.
Same thing, okay. Romeo and Juliet at Gonzaga. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks for having us.